Good morning and welcome to ECCC. I'm excited to start a new Christmas series today that is based off of the song that Laura led us in there called, O Come All You Unfaithful. A few weeks ago, Spencer introduced us to this song and I fell in love with it immediately, and we started talking about the song and thought it'd be a great idea for a sermon series this Christmas. And so starting today and for the next several weeks, we are going to be talking about the fact that Jesus came for those of us who are unfaithful. And so you might be sitting out there and you might be thinking, well, who does that include? Well, I think that includes all of us at one time or another. We are unfaithful at different times in our lives, sometimes more often than others, sometimes with different things than others. And the whole purpose for which he came was to save those of us who didn't have our act together. He came for those of us who are guilty of sin. He came for those of us who are broken, for those of us who are fearful, for those of us who are unstable. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You might be sitting out there this morning and you might be thinking, you know what? You might have had the same thought that I had. Sometimes what's going on in our lives is not a sign of unfaithfulness. We had this discussion, you know, it's like, don't know if I like that term unfaithful or not, because sometimes the things that happen in our lives are not a result of our own doing. Some of the brokenness that comes and some of the shame that sometimes comes, but a lot of it is. A lot of it is based on poor decisions maybe that we've made. Maybe sometimes we find ourselves in difficult situations and we don't respond appropriately when we're in those tough spots. I don't know if any of you have ever done that or not. You've maybe responded inappropriately when you've been in a tough situation. Maybe you've been in a tough spot because you've put your hope and your trust in the wrong people, or you've put your hope and your trust in the wrong things. So as we begin this year's Christmas series, I want you to think big picture with me. I want you to think about the purpose for which he came. I don't want you to think necessarily about all of the Christmas lights and the candy and the fruitcake and different things like that. I want you to think big picture, why Jesus came. I want us to look at some characters from the Christmas story and understand that the very people that we read about in this amazing story, they needed Jesus just like we do today. You know, I think a lot of times we look back at the Christmas story and we think, oh, these are these characters in the Bible that, you know, maybe we don't even know if they're true or not. There's some people that don't believe that. Or maybe we look at them and we say, well, they were in the Bible. Things were different back then. Then maybe, you know, they didn't struggle with some of the same things. I want us to look at these different characters in the Christmas story that dealt with some of these issues in their lives. Some people who were unstable, some people who were broken, some people who were fearful. And today, we don't have to look very far in the Christmas story to find our first unstable characters. We could start with Mary. Think about her for a moment. She's pretty unstable, really. She's a pregnant teenager in a time and place when that was not looked upon very favorably at all, and the world would treat her as an outcast and would even turn their backs on her. We were talking about this very fact the other day, and Spencer brought something up, and I can't remember who he said this, but when the angel appeared to Mary, he didn't really give Mary everything that was going on. He could have said something like, Mary, the town's going to hate you, your family's going to disown you, your significant other is going to want to leave you, and you're going to get fat. You want to sign up for this? And Mary probably would not have wanted to do that, but she did say, Lord, whatever you say, I'm willing. I'm willing to be your servant. Or we could look at Joseph. He was pretty unstable as well, I think. Here's this guy in town that everybody thinks is the person who is the biological father of this pregnant teenager. You think about that for a moment. He's the one that got this young lady in the mess that she's in. That's what everybody in town was thinking. So he's dealing with some instability, some unfaithfulness as well. And you don't get more unstable than King Herod. King Herod was one messed up dude. That's all you got to say about that. He was just very unstable. But what I want to do, and Logan's already kind of alluded to the fact that of the shepherds were in this story. And these unstable shepherds are the people that God chose first to bless with the announcement of the birth. I want us to turn our attention to some of the unstable shepherds in the Christmas story according to Luke chapter 2. And while you're turning to Luke chapter 2, I want to share another story with you about a guy that wanted to be a shepherd in a Christmas program. His name was William Sperling. He was a seventh grader, but as a seventh grader, he was very large for his age, and he was a little bit slow upstairs, but he was a good boy. All the kids liked him. In fact, everybody wanted to be his friend because he was so big, and they knew if a fight broke out and he was on their side, it was going to be a good thing. And so they all wanted to be his friend. They all liked him really well. Well, it came time for the Christmas program to be presented, and William Sperling wanted to be a shepherd so badly, but the teacher decided that the better role for William Sperling would be as the innkeeper rather than a shepherd because he was so big and he could be kind of intimidating. And when Mary and Joseph came and they wanted to get in the inn, then William Sperling was like, no, there's no room in the inn. And so the time came for the big night, and Mary and Joseph, they come to the inn, they knock on the door, and William Sperling opened the door. And when they asked for a place to stay, he said harshly, there is no place for you to stay. There is no room in the inn. Joseph said, but my wife is tired and we've traveled a long way and she's expecting a baby any moment. Isn't there just a small room that we can have just for the night? And once again, William Sperling said with roughness in his voice, you're going to have to find a place somewhere else. There's no room in the inn. Once more, Joseph just pleaded for some place for them to stay the night. And then there was a long pause. And you know, it was one of those long pauses, you know, that's embarrassing. Not only for the person who couldn't remember their line, but for the audience as well. You know, when silence is just, you know, just there and everybody's just really, really uncomfortable. And you can hear people from behind the set and behind the props and everything, and you can hear them prompting him with his line, saying, no, be gone, no, be gone. They kept saying, no, be gone. That was his next line. They were trying to help him with it. And finally, William Sperling said with a softness in his voice, no, be gone. And Mary and Joseph sadly turned to leave, but as they did, suddenly William Sperling regained his voice and said, wait a minute, you can stay in my room, I'll sleep in the barn. You know, it stunned the audience to the point of silence, and then some of them laughed and they giggled a little bit, and even the teacher was a little bit mortified who was putting the play on, but then she thought about it for a moment. She thought, this seventh grade boy who might not have his act all together up here communicated the real truth of Christmas maybe better than anybody when he was willing to make room for Jesus in his life. You can stay in my room. I'll sleep in the shed. The Bible tells us there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. This is Luke chapter 2. If you want to follow along with me, we're beginning in verse 8. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Luke continues, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen them, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And then in verse 19, it says, Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. They were just as they had been told. Now this is a great story. We've heard it for years, ever since we were little children. But what does this story mean to us? What can we learn from these shepherds, these unstable shepherds that God has used in a mighty way to teach us some important truths? I think the first thing that we need to understand is this. In spite of the shepherd's position, they had hope and joy. In spite of who they were, in spite of their situation, they still They still had excitement. They still had joy. And there's something that we need to understand about shepherds in New Testament times. They were the bottom rung of the societal ladder. Okay? They were basically a despised group of people. They were considered outcasts. The rest of the population, they wouldn't even allow them to testify in a court of law. And so they're basically viewed as untrustworthy. They're viewed as crooks. And when we think about these guys who were in the Christmas story known as the shepherds, they're unstable. You know, they're unfaithful people, you know. They're the lowest of the low. Their lives are not filled with hope. Their lives are not filled with joy. But all of a sudden, their lives are about to change. Their lives that, as they had known them up to that point, were characterized at this point, as I said, unstable. But what happened in the stable in Bethlehem changed their lives forever. The very one who created the world has now come to earth to be born in a barn, and an angel of the Lord appears to this lowly group of shepherds to make sure that they know about this incredible truth, about this incredible event that God is coming into our world. This is one of the reasons why I love the Christmas story so much. It's how God chose to come to us, you know? He came to us in a lowly manger, and he appeared to these downtrodden, basically low man on a totem pole shepherds, because it gives all of us hope. All of us who have ever felt down and out, all of us who have ever felt unstable. Now, if Jesus would have come the way that he deserved to come, if I were God, thankfully I'm not, can I get an amen? Okay, very good. And I would have had Jesus come in royal splendor, right? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you want Jesus to come in the way that he deserved? He'd have been born in the fanciest palace, the best palace that you've ever seen, that you've ever known. And he would have had all of the riches and everything just poured at his feet. It would have been the most luxurious place that we could have placed him. We would have put him in the presence of prominence. We would have put him in the presence of the wealthy. You know, those who are more stable. Right? But he was born in a barn, along with farm animals in a podunk town like Bethlehem. And some of the first people to come and worship him were stinking shepherds. I believe that he came that way to show us the unstable, the down and out, the unfaithful ones. But he didn't just come for the well-to-do. He came for everyone. He didn't just come for the stable. He came for us all. Now, the second thing we need to understand from this story is this. The shepherds' hope and joy caused them to seek out Jesus. Okay, the angels appear to them, and they get this great news, and they hear about Jesus, and then what do? They want to go and find him. They want to seek him out. They want to know more about him. See, here's the deal. Jesus has taken the first step, but he's not going to come crashing in uninvited, unexpectedly. He took the first step, and he left heaven. He put on human flesh, and he came for you and for me. It was a humiliating experience for him. As I said, he should have been born in a more luxurious place than this stable in Bethlehem, right? And we think, man, how humiliating to be born in this terrible place in the midst of all of these stinking animals and in this barn, and these outcast shepherds are some of the first guests that appear to him. But you know what the most humiliating part of this story is? That Jesus left heaven in the first place. That he chose to humble himself. He chose to lay aside his deity. He chose to lay aside the fact that he was God, and he left heaven to come here for us. There's a Greek word that's used here for humbled, and it's tapeino, tapeinao. Now I know y'all are going to want to write that down and commit that to memory. Tapeino is the word. It literally means that Jesus was willing to stoop to any means necessary That's what the Greek word says there. He was willing to do whatever it took. He was willing to go as low as he possibly could go, as low as he needed to go. The spotless, holy Son of God, who had unlimited power, who had unlimited knowledge, has set that off to the side. And he came down here for us. Now all of a sudden, he has become part of mankind himself. He was willing to stoop to any means necessary in order to save us. And so he became a helpless baby who was completely dependent upon humans for everything. He became one of us so he could identify with us, so he could one day know what it was like to be an outcast. You know? He knows. He knows what it's like to put on human flesh and be in the midst of some of the things like us. Now, Jesus was never unstable, but he certainly had opportunity to be. He certainly could identify with being an outcast. He certainly could identify with one who felt like maybe he was the low man on the totem pole. But listen to what Luke says in chapter 2, verses 16 through 18 again. When they had seen him, here's what the shepherds did. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So this hope and this joy that was given to them by the angel has now turned into faith. Their lives have been changed by a baby. Can you imagine that? A life being changed by a baby? Now those of you who have ever had children, you can imagine that, can't you? First time you ever held that child in your arms. I remember holding our boys for the very first time. That changed everything. And now, well, now I'm a papa, and that's a whole nother kind of, you know, a whole nother kind of change. It's incredible. But here's these shepherds, these lowly shepherds, who are invited to see the Son of God. And so here's the next thing they do. They come into contact with Jesus. Once they met him, they told others about him. I love the reaction from the shepherds. The first thing they did after meeting Jesus is that they went out and they told others about him. They spread the word. Now, I don't know what's more incredible about this story to me. The fact that they immediately went out and they spread the word after they met Jesus, or the fact that everyone was amazed at what they were telling them. The fact that everyone was believing them and were amazed at what they were saying. Remember, here's the deal. These shepherds, they weren't even called upon to testify in court. What happened in their lives that changed them from being these outcast people that nobody trusted, that nobody wanted to be around, all of a sudden they go around talking about Jesus, these unreliable, untrustworthy people, all of a sudden people are amazed by what they're saying. It's because they met Jesus. They were changed because they met this baby in a manger in Bethlehem, and their lives were never going to be the same. Apparently, there was a noticeable difference in the shepherd's life after they met Jesus, because others could see it, and they believed what they were saying. And they were amazed by it, the Bible says. Well, what's that have to do with us? Listen to me, church. If you have truly met Jesus, how in the world can you keep that to yourself? If your life has been changed, if you've come face to face with Jesus, if your life has been changed, why aren't you spreading the news about Him? Time and time again in Scripture, we see Jesus changing someone's life. And when He changes their life, what's their first response? You can go all throughout the Gospels. Every time that Jesus performed a miracle, people went off and they started talking about Jesus. When they came face to face with Jesus and their lives were changed, they started talking about Him, and they went out and they started spreading the news. I don't know, but I believe that there's only one reason why someone who claims to be a Christian doesn't spread the good news. They must not truly believe. How can you truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God and not talk about that? I think there's a good number of people who claim to be Christian because they know enough about Jesus to make an informed decision that, hey, I want to punch my ticket to heaven, and so I'm going to confess him as the Christ, and I'm going to be baptized into him. But how often do you get in the pages of his word and meet with him? How often do you spend time praying to him? Do you regularly spend time with his bride, the church, for encouragement and nourishment and rebuke if necessary? If you truly have met him and your life has been changed by his grace, how can you not talk about him? We talk about everything else under the sun at the drop of a hat. But how often does Jesus come up and what he's done in your life? How often does that come up in your daily conversation? And we sang just a moment ago, "O come, all you unfaithful, come, weak and unstable, come. No, you are not alone." What's that mean for us, Christmas 2020? Those of us who are feeling unstable right now? Again, Logan alluded to all of the unstable feelings and the uneasiness and the difficulties that we've been going through since last March in this pandemic. But have you taken those concerns to Jesus? Have you laid them at his feet and have you left them there? See, that's what we're good at, right? Don't we do a good job of like, say, okay, Jesus, I can't do this. I'm going to lay this situation at your feet. And then you kind of walk away, but then you don't really like the way he's handling it, or maybe you don't like the time frame in which he's handling it, and so you take it back. If you're unstable this morning, here's a couple of things I want you to understand. I want you to, first of all, come to Jesus. By way of application today, this is what you need to understand. If you're feeling unstable, come to Jesus. And I think we're in a day and age like I've not seen in my lifetime in terms of the number of people who have an uneasy feeling and instability in their lives. I read a report this past week that the CDC put out that says roughly 43% of people in America have battled depression since June this year. 43%. Okay? I read a report from CNN that said in Japan, more people died last month from suicide than in all of 2020 from COVID. A great number of people are losing hope, guys. They've had their income reduced. Some have just lost their jobs. Some have lost loved ones. Some have loved ones now who are battling for their lives. And there's a great number of people who are even afraid to leave their homes right now. There are many of us who every time we get the sniffles or get a cough, we think, oh no, do I have it? No. If that's you, Jesus is saying, come. All you who are weary, all you who are weak, all you who are unstable, you are not alone. Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear. And we'll talk about that more next week. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Our instability oftentimes, it comes from our unfaithfulness to God. You know, sometimes it's not any of our fault, but sometimes it's just our unfaithfulness to God. Do we believe what he says? Are you trusting that God knows what is best for you? Do you believe that God cares about you so much, even more than the flowers of the field and the birds of the air, and that you, being created in his image, will he not take care of you even more than that? You know, that's what Jesus says in Matthew. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? And then here's the kicker. you of little faith? See, there's a little unfaithfulness in all of us. And that causes instability in our lives. Now, the second thing we need to apply to our lives is this. Once the shepherds met Jesus, not only did they go and tell people, but they worshiped Him. If you know Jesus, worship Him enthusiastically. Look at verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I want you to imagine this for a moment. The shepherds are out in the field and they're just doing their everyday job. They're just watching the sheep and they're watching for wolves and just doing their mundane job like they'd done every single day before. All of a sudden, it says, an angel of the Lord appears to them. Okay, so that's a little bit alarming. Would you agree with that? You're out in the field and you think, well, maybe I've just been out in the field a little too long. And so they're a little bit startled by this. And so the angel of the Lord is talking to them. And then, so not only is there an angel of the Lord, but then all of a sudden, the Bible says, a great company of the heavenly host joins the angel. You ever wonder who's included in that group of heavenly hosts? I looked it up, and here's what most people were saying. It was basically an entire army of angels. All of them had this command and this rank, and they're all created by God, and they're all under His command, and they join with the other angel, and they are singing praise to the Lord. It was the first flash mob, I think, that ever happened. They're just out in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden, these heavenly hosts shows up, and here's what's happening in this scene. Not only are these shepherds being told about what is happening in Bethlehem, they are getting a glimpse of what is happening in heaven every single moment. No wonder they hurry off and go to see Jesus. No wonder after they left the manger in Bethlehem, they go out and they start telling everybody about what had happened. No wonder they worshiped the Lord themselves enthusiastically. They heard the news. They believed. Their lives were changed by Jesus. That shouldn't be any different than us, really. God has appeared to those of us who call ourselves Christians. He's come to us lowly humans. And we're all lowly compared to the holiness of God. Amen. There's none righteous. He appeared to us with the good news. And many of us believe that. But if you do, it should change you. It should change everything about you. It should cause you to want to tell everybody that you know that doesn't know Jesus about what He's done for you, and even those people who already do know Jesus, testify to them about the goodness that is happening in your life because of Jesus and encourage them a little bit. Just like these lowly shepherds were changed. They start their day out normal, doing things the way they'd always done them, tending their sheep. And all of a sudden, their lives will never be the same. There might be some of you this morning, just a normal day. You just woke up today. It's just another Sunday. I think I'll turn on the broadcast of the church service and see what I can see. And maybe something that's been said, or maybe something that's been sung today in this service, or maybe something in this story that you've heard so many times, maybe it's just been spoken in a way today that you need to respond to the invitation that Jesus has given you to surrender your life to Him. Maybe you want to believe today, you want to state that Jesus is the Son of God. Maybe you'd like to confess Him as the Christ. Maybe you're sitting out there and you know you need to be baptized today. I'm going to ask you to contact us about that. We'd love to talk to you about that. We'd love to sit down and go through the plan of salvation with you and arrange a time when we can baptize you into Christ. Send us an email through the church website or through the church Facebook page. Call the office, whatever you need to do. We'd love to help you through that process. But I'm going to guess most people who are watching the service today, you've already made that decision. But you're just feeling a little unstable right now. There might be a lot of things going on in your life right now that you're worried about. Maybe some things you just can't seem to sort out. Would you reach out to us? We'd love to talk to you about that. We'd love to meet with you. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to help you through that. Just call us, email us, whatever the case may be. I hope that you can join us next week as we discuss, O Come, You Who Are Fearful. But we're going to offer a song of decision today, and the handful of people that's here in the service now, maybe someone here today, I think most everybody in the room's probably already made a decision, but maybe you want somebody to pray with you. Maybe there's some of you at home that you just need to spend some time praying to God today about what He would have you to do with this message today. We're going to pray, and then we'll sing this song.